The Old Testament lesson for this fifth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Zechariah chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you double. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is taken from Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. For he knew that the law is spiritual, for I am the flesh sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not know what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do not do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be law. When I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive of the law of sin dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and when no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord. One well-placed nugget of hope. As of this morning, there are billions of people all over the world sitting around and thinking about a lot of things. Do I go out? Do I stay in? Will the economy rebound, and what about the stock market? Am I going to be able to continue to work? When will this all end? When will things get back to normal? I now keep in mind that is God talking, not man's conjecture, but this is God talking. If my people will humble themselves and call upon my name, I will heal their land. It's easy to read and hear that scripture and think, oh Lord, get busy. Too many say, yeah, okay, but soon there will be a cure, and in the meantime, fear and panic continues to strangle the world. We already have the solution to the problem. There is strength in unity, and what Scripture says here is to show some humility, realize the circumstance is bigger than any of us. And when we come together praying and seeking God, knowing only He has the ability to meet our needs. His own words declare his willingness to help and heal the entire planet where we live. Now notice, Scripture doesn't say how many of God's people. There is no magic number. It just says God's people. Are you a Christian? Then the time has come. If you are a child of God this morning, to humble yourselves, to stand up and call on the great God Almighty to intervene and heal the land of what's going on. God is looking for righteous men and women all over this land to cast their faith and their hope in His amazing ability and trust God with what you know, not what you are witnessing. Every story we find in the Bible, we find the common denominator of faith and hope, from the children of Israel to the message of the gospel and the resurrection victory. Jesus accomplished the morning of the third day when he arose from the tomb. Every one of them, including Jesus, believed and pinned their hopes on God's ability for the outcome. From Noah to the women at the well, the world has consistently given the report of failure and doom and gloom. But God has consistently delivered miracle after miracle in spite of how things appear to be to the rest of the world and all nature. Forget about what the news media is reporting. Forget about what the popular opinion is right now on the internet and start to focus and call on the only opinion that really matters, God's opinion. The politically correct opinion won't tell you what I'm about to tell you, but this is a spiritual fight from the pit of hell with the focus of stealing, killing, and destroying humanity. I hear so many say we want to just get back to normal. Is normal what we really want and are willing to settle for? Normal is mediocrity. There is nowhere you will find in the Scripture God's abundant life and God's blessing with the description of normal of mediocre. For far too many, normal has been a way of life for far too long. If you're a Christian, God has called you out of obscurity to live anything but a normal life. Yet far too many are willing to do exactly that. We haven't been singing Jesus Take the Wheel. We have neglected the calling we all have been called to be salt and the light of Jesus to the world. This crisis has come along and caught the majority of the church asleep at the wheel. But that doesn't mean we can't unite together and call on his name and see salvation and healing take place in our land. God has already given and equipped everyone with a measure of faith. There is not one person who has not been equipped with God's amazing faith gift, which is his spiritual defense mechanism with the ability to put 1,000 to flight. To merely say to a mountain, move, and through our faith in his ability, the mountain must obey. Here's something to think about. Why is it when we were young, we're so willing to try to test our abilities and so willing to take tests? You know what I'm talking about. The test designed to grade our ability to perform. In fact, we usually can't wait and have anxious anticipation between each level of responsibility life offers us. Our spiritual walk and relationship with God through Jesus our Savior should be no different. I often wondered why we don't look forward to and with the same anticipation of embracing our spiritual walk and level of relationship with God as we do with our zeal for the adventures of life. It's time we, who call ourselves Christians, get involved in what's going on. It's time we get back to the basics of faith that caused every one of us to step out and trust our hearts to Jesus in the first place. It's time we fall in love again with the things of God. One common characteristic tied to every level in everyone's spiritual walk is the fact sometime or another their measure of faith is going to be challenged. The time has come for all of us. This is a worldwide challenge, church. The challenges from the accuser are always going to be daily, no matter what level of relationships they are with God. Life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow, and all that matters in this life and will hold water on the day of judgment is what we have done for the kingdom of God. That's something that should never be very far from a Christian's thought pattern. A lot of people, when asked if they believe in God, almost always respond by saying yes. Very few are ever asked the follow-up question of, what have you done for God lately? Sadly, very few would be able to answer if asked with something substantial or meaningful they have ever done for God. There has never been a greater time in history than right now to call on the name of the Lord and stand in faith against the attack on humanity from the accuser and the pit of hell. There are only two sides to every situation, good and evil. Is it really that simple? While the accuser would like for you to think there is a gray area concerning good and evil, there is no gray area. There is only sugarcoating anything when it comes to the accuser and the spiritual matters. If what happens is good, it's from God. If what happens is not good, it's not from God. John 10:10 is very descriptive in saying that Jesus came so we could have life more abundant, and the accuser's main objective is and continues to be to steal, kill, and destroy. In Philippians chapter 4, "And now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you." Does what we are witnessing and all the mayhem we are seeing happen in real time around the world sound like anything we just read? The answer is no. What we are witnessing is meant for death and destruction from the pit of hell. In John chapter 16, verse 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world, and through Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross for us, we are also overcomers by the righteousness he has covered us with. That is, if we are willing to accept our God-given measure of faith and belief. When we are willing to take Scripture at face value and have faith in God's promises, it's not what can we do. It's what can't we do. With our faith, called to action, believing in God and His amazing ability, making a way for us. There are only two requirements for God to use anyone in the world and make their name a household name for the whole world to know. Be willing to be used by God and have faith God can accomplish the task you've been called to. I believe most people would say they believe, and most would also say they would be willing. Sadly, very few are willing to attempt to do both at the same time. I don't know about you, but the word everything comes to mind when I think of the things I've tried to help God figure out in my life at one point or another. Fact is, we're all guilty of doing the same thing. And by that, I mean trying to attach such degree of difficulty to our need multiplied by our ability rather than using our God-given measure of faith and just resting in, God's ability to answer our needs. Our human nature is taught at a very early age to try to determine every degree of difficulty for every task. Society calls it self-dependency. Having faith in God to meet our needs is all God dependency. Thus requiring us to be totally God-dependent rather than the self-dependent nature we have learned to lean on in life. It's 180 degrees different, a complete turnaround from what the drummer is playing and the beat of the world's way of life. We weren't born to be self-dependent or reliant. We came into this world quite the opposite. Our life was completely dependent on someone else for everything. And thing is, we are 100% completely okay with depending on others for everything. Our measure of faith and trust we were born with. Amazingly enough, we were also born with the ability to use both from day one. Everything we have ever needed or will ever need, God made sure we were equipped with from the moment of conception. Every day of the learned behavior of the world and self-dependency, the accuser has used to try to steal, kill, or diminish what we had 100% trust in on day one. Our parents told us they loved us and expected us to trust them from the moment the first time we met them, and we did without issue. God's word lovingly instructs us to do the same in our relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus. But human nature and learned behavior continually raises our question of what to do with our desire to control our circumstances with our self-effort. God's Word instructs us to relax our grip of control and to trust in His immeasurable capabilities, to let our self-effort rest in God's amazing love He has for each and every one of us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus." 100% of the time, resting in someone else's ability is hard to do. because warriors want to do something valiant. Singers want to sing a song the whole world will want to sing. Composers want to write the score for something so compelling every musician will long to play it. Everyone wants to do something. We're not alone in both of this self-imposed and continuously reminded accuser dilemma. In fact, all of the recipients of the miracles we read in the Bible faced the exact same dilemma we're discussing right here. Their needs were all bigger than their abilities. They all needed God to step into the situation and come through for them, didn't they? If we want to receive the full benefit and blessing of what God wants to do in our lives, by faith we must follow His instructions and wait or rest for His perfect timing of deliverance. To keep the faith, keep believing, resting in His most capable hands until God provides. Well, when we do that, God is duty-bound and held accountable to accomplish what we ask by His word, which never fails. Otherwise, if we don't, we end up settling for less than we deserve, called mediocrity. Mediocrity is easy. Normal is easy. Resting is the easiness of God's instruction is not easy. Because our human nature wants to impose degrees of difficulty, self-effort continually thinks its labor can bring to the table. Here's what God thinks, and I'm inclined, as you should also be thinking. We deserve so much better than what we can bring to the table. With man, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You see, God knows even our best day. We're fortunate to be able to make it onto the table, let alone bring something of value with us. The last hurdle for all of us, before we see God work in our circumstances, is resting in God's ability instead of our own, to deliver our desired results. Elijah, Joseph, David, Moses, Ruth, Esther, and the list is long, through their faith gave God's people a well-placed nugget of hope. Today we have hope because of God's gift of grace, delivered and administered by none other than His very old Son, Jesus. How much more are we blessed who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, who has become our hope, our qualification for every promise and blessing God wants to give us, including healing, safety, and protection from all things, seen or not seen. We have been called to use our hands, feet, and voices to place everywhere we can the nuggets of hope Jesus offers to all. There is no hard and easy for God, and for us to think such thoughts doesn't limit God. Those thoughts only inhibit our ability to believe and receive. We need to focus our energy of self-effort into resting in God's love and giving nature He who has always had towards us. Using our energy to rest sounds foreign to us, but if God designed our DNA, don't you think He has already given us the ability to do what He asks of us? The answer is yes. All God asks of us is, use our energy of self-effort and allow it to be consumed by resting in His ability and willingness to work all things for our good. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus looked hard at them and said, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God can do it. If you are willing to ask God to help you level up and trust everything to His plan for your life, God will take you to levels you have never dreamed of and places you couldn't have imagined, with His goodness and blessings leading you every step of the way. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the enforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Help us all to put away our desires of self-effort and embrace the enforced rhythms of God's sweet grace and rest completely in the amazing plan God has for His children. Plans of hope, plans for our welfare and our neighbor's welfare as well. The amazing plans for the abundant future God has already created for us and the entire world we live in to arrive at as well. When you are willing to believe, God is able to deliver. Amazing victories you can't imagine. Indescribable destinations beyond belief, divine health and prosperity, All the glorious things God's idea of abundant life has placed in your future and destiny. This week, go out of your way to be kind and help renew humanity's outlook and show the world God's love through your actions and ability to place nuggets of hope in a world of despair. Raise your expectations and let's call on God for his help and both expect and rest in God's amazing ability to heal humanity and our land. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.